This summer, the world's best tennis players are coming back to Cincinnati. The Cincinnati Open returns August 8th through the 23rd. Bigger than ever, with new fan spaces, incredible food, drinks, and entertainment all in one place. Voted Tournament of the Year by the players themselves. Community Weekend starts August 8th. Finals weekend, August 22nd and 23rd. Get your tickets now at cincinnatiopen.com.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
You may have heard that earlier today, the Minister for Defence revealed the National Maritime Security Strategy 2026 to 2030. It provides a roadmap on how we can go about defending our maritime security until the end of the decade. It involves more collaboration between our neighbours and European allies to protect our waters. But what impact, if any, does this have on our neutrality? Well, joining us to discuss this is Mark Mellett, Chief of Staff of Ireland's Defence Forces from 2015 until 2021, and Patricia McBride, columnist with the Irish News. Mark, to you first, this announcement of the Maritime Security Strategy and what would also seem to be an agreement with France to buy significant military capability. I think we're talking about $2 billion worth of military equipment over the coming years. Your reaction to that?
Well, first of all, I welcome closer collaboration with our nearest European neighbour, the UK, and our nearest EU neighbour, France. I've written in the past also about looking at collaboration with our nearest transatlantic neighbours, Canada and US. This is a welcome development in terms of finally recognising some of the capability deficits that are in our defence forces, in particular in our naval service, which for 100 years, I would say, has been a Cinderella of our defence forces. And from a state, an island state, we have been largely sea-blind and anything but a maritime state in terms of recognising the extraordinary resource that has been given to us by international law in terms of our economic zone and our extended continental shelf. But sovereign rights that are not upheld are more imaginary than real. And it's time now that I think we began to look at how we detect and how we deter activity that's happening in our jurisdiction, often with, outcomes that are not in the interests of the citizens of this country.
Okay, Patricia McBride, your take on it.
Well, I think that the ambition to improve coordination around critical incidents in the maritime environment is a laudable ambition, and I'm glad that Mark has recognised the capability deficits in the Irish Defence Forces over many years. But let's not forget that those deficits are as a result of chronic government underinvestment over decades, and I don't think that the response to that should be to put at risk Ireland's position in terms of the neutrality of the state. I mean, it appears that, you know, initiatives such as this, the government's attempt to reform the triple lock, that neutrality has been hollowed out through policy and institutional reform rather than being openly debated and redefined through a public mandate. I mean, it is very, very clear that in successive opinion polls, the Irish people favour maintaining that position of neutrality. And, you know, whilst the steps that we are talking about and seeing in this maritime strategy, security strategy, you know, may be legally compatible with neutrality as it's currently defined, collectively they're marking an evolution, I suppose, from traditional non-alignment or what we have come to understand Irish neutrality to be. And I think that that's concerning.
Okay, Mark Mellett, your response to that, are we straying away from our neutral position?
Not at all, absolutely not. And I've written on this in the past. We're a militarily non-aligned defence force, and the sovereign decision with regards to how the defence forces, the women and men of our Air Corps, our Army and our Navy are deployed is a matter for government. There is not one sentence in the Maritime Security Strategy that actually deviates from that point. What I am saying, however, and I think this is what makes a lot of sense, is that the security of this state cannot be looked at in a silo. We have a shared international space in terms of our economic zone, where actors from all over the world are actually carrying out activities. The cables that come to us from across the Atlantic are of vital national interest in terms of our economy. Almost 1 trillion euros of business done daily through those cables. the critical infrastructure in terms of energy, gas, and in terms of electrical interconnectors, and the 37 gigawatts of offshore architecture that will come in due course, not just to power Ireland, but also to be part of an architecture into Europe, is critical not just for our economy, but for our regional partnership with our neighbours in the European Union. And this is where the difference, I think, and this is where Patricia and I would probably disagree. We are not neutral. In a globalised economy, it's absolutely impossible to be neutral. We're a partner within the European Union, part of a multilateral framework, which is about strengthening the economy of the members of that European Union architecture. And we're also got close ties with the UK. We have close ties with the UK since the independence of the state. And there is an interdependency between us. And if we do not have a common information sharing environment whereby we collaborate on where the threats are, the seams between these two jurisdictions will be exploited.
All right, let's bring Patricia back in on that. This can't be looked at in a silo. Yes, we're militarily neutral, but we're not politically neutral. We have to cooperate with our allies.
We absolutely have to, but we should rely in the first on our own capacity. I mean, for example, we talk about undersea cables and the security of those. The reality is that they're much more likely to be subject to cyber attack. Well, we have the brain power, we have the skills in this country to develop software processes. We have engineers, we have infrastructure that can be developed to manage the threat of cyber attack domestically. We don't necessarily need to bring in military forces from other countries to help us to do that. I mean, one of the things, for example, that's concerning in the maritime security strategy, it talks about closer alignment with the joint exhibition force, or expedition force, without becoming a member. Well, what is closer alignment with an organisation made up of 10 EU or NATO member countries mean? Does it mean that you're in the room when the decisions are made, but you're not in the field when those decisions are put into action? I mean, how does that absolve Ireland of responsibility for decisions or actions by that group? You know, so we have to look really, really carefully at what we're talking about here. Do we want a position where military or naval forces from other countries are patrolling Irish waters? Well, I mean, is that constitutionally sound? Article 15 of the Constitution might suggest that it's not and could potentially be open to legal challenge. So, you know, it's much more nuanced than simply saying that we're not neutral. We may be militarily non-aligned, but we do have to take a position which is endorsed by the Irish people and not a position that's driven by government.
Okay, Mark, how about Patricia's point there? Is there potentially constitutional issues about friendships, for example, patrolling Irish waters, providing air defence capability?
I think the issue of collaboration is just that. It's a matter of information sharing. So if an air picture from a United Kingdom warship or a French warship is of value to us in terms of us understanding our threats, then so be it. I've worked with Royal Naval ships in jurisdiction. In fact, I've actually worked with US ships in their jurisdiction. It's completely normal that navies work together, collaborate together, carry out exercises together. The critical piece in terms of any, let's say, professional military force is to be able to work alongside neighbours and partners, have the same doctrine, common information. I served in Afghanistan with British forces, with French forces, with Canadian forces as part of the International Security Assistance Force. The lead on that, by the way, was actually NATO. But we were there as a partner supporting that operation. And it's a real tragedy it didn't succeed, because Afghanistan has gone backwards, as we all know, in terms of its adherence to human rights, in particular gender equality, something that I know, Patricia, is very close to your heart. So I think it is possible to work together and to actually have that sharing of information, that collaboration together, but still the sovereign decision with regards to the use of the force being a sovereign one for the government of Ireland.
Entirely normal, Patricia.
And I think that cooperation and collaboration, where it is warranted, is important, but not at the risk of Irish sovereignty. I totally agree with Mark on that position. But what lies at the heart of this issue is a strategic one, whether neutrality is a flexible policy tool that can be adjusted or a movable feast by
government. Has it not always been flexible? Go back to World War II. We were very flexible in our neutrality. We were benevolently neutral towards the Allies. Like, it's always been flexible, has it not?
I don't think so. I think it's been a foundational national principle that can't be meaningly altered without the consent of the people. I think that that's why there's such strong opposition, that it's being seen by many people, many of the electorate, as something that the government is willing to compromise on at the behest of the EU or of the British powers. And I think that's what's concerning, that it is not being driven by a bottom-up agenda, rather a top-down one, where Ireland is being put in a position of being forced into looking at its historic.
Mark, are we being forced to be overly flexible on our neutrality by our EU partners and by Britain?
No, many of the risks we're dealing with here are actually below the threshold of military actions. They're hybrid activities that are exactly as Patricia said. They're cyber related. They're shadow fleet related. They're actually law enforcement issues that are actually better served when we have an ability to collaborate with our neighbours in terms of tracking situational awareness, using technology that we may not have available to ourselves, synthetic aperture radar from satellites, and so on. So the ability to provide for this law enforcement in our jurisdiction is in our national interest. And it's in the interest of the men and women of Oakleigh and Héireann, who are actually out there very often blind to what's happening around them, because we have not invested over the decades. We have been sea blind for a century. And I think finally, this maritime security strategy is going to give us maritime domain awareness so we can act in the national interest.
Patricia, we already do this in the policing sphere. You have Gardaí posted to foreign agencies like Interpol and Europol. Like, why wouldn't you have the same cooperation between our defence forces and defence forces of friendly nations?
Because you're looking at a policing and criminal justice situation rather than one that has the capacity to impact on the security of the state. When you're looking at, you know, the fact that 71% of people surveyed last week by Amarach are supporters of Irish neutrality, and that goes up to 84% amongst those surveyed who are under the age of 35. It means that neutrality is one of the most widely supported pillars of Irish foreign policy, and that's rooted in our historical experience, our post-colonial identity, and, you know, a preference for being seen as an actor of goodwill, an actor of international media.
Yeah, but the figures are very different when you ask more specific questions. Like, the electorate is much more divided, for example, on ending the triple lock. In fact, I think in the most recent Red Sea poll, there was slightly more support for ending the triple lock than there was for maintaining it. So Irish views on it, the electorate's views on it, are quite nuanced as well.
I think they are, but I think we have to take into consideration that this is a matter of national security. It's not a matter of cooperation around policing or crime matters. I think we have to take it much more seriously, and that has to be a debate that's led by the public and not from the top down by government.
Okay, Mark Mellis.
Listen, this is about multilateralism. It's about supporting norms and principles that define us as a civilized society. We're in a very challenging period in our history. We have actors in our jurisdiction that are actually surveilling our interconnectors. They've been carrying out cyber attacks on our health service executive. They have actually poured 300 tons of oil into our jurisdiction. And we are at a point in our ability to respond now, which this maritime security architecture for the first time has actually defined the critical importance of maritime domain defence, maritime domain awareness, and our ability to support the institutions we have. And adherence to good law and order, not having shadow vessels that come in and out, actually not adhering to standards of safeguarding in terms of watchkeeping, ensuring that they're actually properly insured, ensuring that they're fit for purpose in terms of the capacity to actually do what they're
okay.
doing.
Okay, Patricia.
A huge amount at stake here.
Patricia, last word to you on this. There are bad actors out there, particularly Russia. And you know what? We can't afford to be dotting our I's and crossing our T's in relation to everything. We actually need to defend our national territories.
We absolutely do need to defend our national territories. The best way to do that is to invest in our own defence forces, to build the technical capacity internally to be able to protect against cyber attack, and to not risk putting Ireland at harm of risk of international terrorist attack, because we align ourselves with the military industrial complex.
What do you mean by the military industrial complex?
I'm looking at the words of President Catherine Conway.
Yeah, I know. I didn't really understand what she meant by it either. We're talking about France or Germany or the UK. They're our allies, are they not?
Well, they're only allies until they, you know, they're only allies until they engage in activities that support war, support genocide. I mean, for example, the EU has done nothing to stop the exportation of arms to Israel, which are used to commit genocide against the Palestinian people. Do we want to align ourselves with that as a country? I don't think we do. And I think that that's why we need to maintain our position as a country that's seen as an honest broker, that's seen as a mediator and not an actor in conflict.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Patricia McBride.
Quick point.
Very quick,
just
Mark. Quick.
Yeah, my last ship was Elly Etna. It was the last ship built in Ireland in 1984. We have no means of actually acquiring that kind of capability without actually working with neighbours to build ships like that, as we've done with the UK for the last four ships that we've acquired. Okay. So we do need to collaborate, and it doesn't mean that we're undermining our military non-alignment.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Our thanks to Patricia McBride, columnist with the Irish News, and to Mark Mellett, Chief of Staff of Ireland's Defence Forces from 2015 until 2021.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.